Did you realize that the child of God, the true child of God, is one who is on a journey and they are passing through? Whatever the place that it is that you are at right now, where you live, where you work, where you go from day to day, your very life here on earth, you are passing through. You are merely on a journey, passing through, ever closer in an upward journey, as Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, who we read of, reckoned themselves to indeed be pilgrims on this earth. They lived in tents, signifying that they had no permanent home here. They were merely passing through. They looked to a heavenly city, whose founder and maker is God, with firm foundations, the eternal city. And you know, in this world in general, in the secular world in general, in daily life, many things come to pass when people pass through a particular place. You hear about, especially at election time, general election time, especially the battle bus goes with the slogans on it. Whatever the slogan is of the political party, they have all mod cons on these fully equipped coaches, and they do all their work as they travel on this bus. They eat and sleep sometimes on these buses, and they go up and down the length and breadth of the country, and they pass through. They pass through with their message to vote for them. They pass through with their message of their manifesto. And you also have this in the business world as well. There are people who go from place to place. There sometimes their work is never tied to a particular venue, a particular office. They are what's called itinerant. They are always on the move. They go and they represent their company in various places. The Lord Jesus Christ, in many occasions, when he walked this earth, sometimes, when he came to such places that you would expect that he would stop for some time, that you'd think there's many people to speak to here, sometimes he would just pass through so quickly. You see, the Lord Jesus only stopped when he had a work to do. He only stopped when he had a work to do. There are some places he delayed at where he had many people's lives to touch. He healed many people. In other places we see very few people he healed. He spoke to great crowds and small groups of people. But all the while, his ministry, his mission was that he came to a particular place at a particular time for a particular individual. Sometimes more than one, but he always came for a purpose. Turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel and chapter 18. Luke and chapter 18. The title of the message this evening is this. Now, there's a title with a subtitle. The overall title is Either Side of Jericho. Either Side of Jericho. But the subtitle, which is the title for this evening, especially, is On the Way. On the Way. Or Coming Near. Now, over the next couple of Sundays, perhaps more, we shall look at this brief subject. We shall look at how the Lord Jesus, in coming and changing the lives of some particular individuals trapped in their respective situations, we shall look at how he came to these people. These situations which tell us of sin's dominion over all sinners. And this evening, we come to a particular encounter. We come to a particular encounter. Turn with me, as I said, to chapter 18 of Luke's Gospel, and we read from verse 35. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. We don't have such things in our day. We have beggars. We do have beggars. We have people destitute. But those who are disabled in our day, they don't find themselves, very rarely would find themselves by the side of the road. But to be blind in those days, unless in the rare event you had someone to look after you, to be blind would be to be completely destitute. To be completely without any hope but to beg. He sat by the road begging. Now some have thought that this man is named elsewhere in one of the other Gospels, where we read of a man called Bartimaeus. Now, my reading of this cannot be the case. Because indeed, we read here, it happened as he, the Lord Jesus, was coming near Jericho. But when we read in the other Gospels of blind Bartimaeus, we read that he met with this man Bartimaeus after he had passed Jericho. So they cannot be one and the same individual. Nevertheless, this man was a blind man and he was begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. And so they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, if you're ever caused in your heart to be brought to know who Jesus is, you will cry out, have mercy on me. And then those who went before warned him. What an amazing thing to do. What a curious thing to do. For these people showed themselves to, at best, be not very well taught, or not remembering of the Lord's teaching, or to indeed not be saved themselves. Because why would anyone who follows the Lord Jesus tell someone and warn someone to not cry unto Jesus? And there are some who, it seems, they feel they have all the the doctrine right. And they're almost on the lookout. They're on the lookout. They don't want the gospel to be proclaimed in case someone believes. It's almost like that. Now I'm talking about those who believe the truth of the gospel, who believe the true gospel of God's sovereign grace. There are some who will not indeed declare if anyone will to those listening on. They will not declare such things as, come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. The one coming unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. But this is the gospel. And the one coming to Christ, the only one coming to Christ, is the one who is brought to see who Jesus is anyway. What an amazing work must have taken place in this blind man's heart. They warned him that he should be quiet. Don't cry out to Jesus for mercy. Imagine it. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. And in the stillness, it's not what the text says, but in that stillness, he stood still. I don't know, did everyone else stop when Jesus stood still, waiting what would come from the lips of the Saviour now? Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. The Lord Jesus commands. The Lord Jesus commands those who truly trust him, those who truly believe on him, to go and compel the sinner to come to him. That's what he commands. He commands us to go. He commands us to tell. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? Now the Lord already knew, of course. But the Lord is drawing from this man's heart that which he's already placed there. And this is the great work of God's grace in the hearts of those he came to save. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And this just occurs to me right now. Lord, that I may receive my sight. My sight. It's personal. Not I may receive sight, like it's something which is indeed impersonal, something which I know nothing about. I may receive my sight. This sight is for me. This sight's for me. This salvation, this faith is for me, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Just simply trusting me. Not that his faith is a work that stirred up anything of any power. It's through the faith that God gave to him. That which God was giving him, he received. And immediately he received his sight
and followed him, glorifying God. And guess what? And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Here on this side of Jericho, a great work of grace is performed by the Lord Jesus. There were many people in Jericho, but there was this one man. There was this one man the Lord was interested in. Not interested in. The Lord was concerned. Not only concerned, the Lord must come to. He was one of his. This evening we come to this account of an encounter a man has with the Lord Jesus Christ. That indeed shows us that there is no such thing as coincidence or chance. No such thing as coincidence or chance. When dealing with meeting with the Lord himself. If you have an encounter with the Lord, it is not by any chance thing. It's not by anything you did or didn't do. It is according to his purpose. Oh, that those of us who know the Saviour will, as we look at this, be brought more and more to see each day we live, each day as potentially that time when the Lord would open up a door of utterance to tell of who Jesus is. Not an opportunity. Not merely an opportunity. But rather a predetermined time whereby God has purposed for someone to hear of his grace and mercy in the gospel. That he has purposed that someone must come across our path to hear who is Jesus. And as we begin to look at this account of how the Lord Jesus met with these individuals, particularly here in Luke 18 verses 35 to Luke 19 verse 10. It is interesting to note that he did not stop or linger in any way in Jericho. You'll see that more as we look next time. He did not stop or linger in this great city of Jericho. It's almost as if to say, and a modern day equivalent would be, he comes to the outskirts of London and he's coming near to London, and he finds himself somewhere around the outskirts near the M25, maybe a little bit further in than the M25, and he comes perhaps on the outskirts of East London and he finds himself in somewhere like Barking or somewhere like that. And there's just one man, one woman he's got to meet there. And then he comes and he finds himself and he goes and he purposes to go through London, whatever route he takes. And then suddenly he's there, another side of London. And there he is, and he's on the outskirts of London. He's passed through London and he goes for all the popular sites in London, for all the metropolis of London, the many people you think are a captive audience. And he goes and he meets with someone in a place just outside of London. Some insignificant place. Now if I name the place that comes to mind, whatever it is, I could be in trouble calling it insignificant. But I don't know, somewhere like Enfield. Let's say Enfield. I'm not saying they're insignificant. Who knows? But a modern day equivalent. And you think, why is he not lingered in London? All that opportunity, all those different types of people in London, all those communities, all those neighbourhoods. This was not his purpose, you see. He did not linger. He was on a definite mission. And here as was this large, busy, bustling city where would have been a great population, but it was not God's will at this time that these people should meet with the Saviour. It's not the time. God works perfectly at the right time. Many of them in this city of Jericho, no doubt were among what are called the reprobate. They were not his people. Meaning they were the passed over ones. That's why Christ passed through them. They were not his people. There was not a work of grace to be done in their lives. They were rejected by God and not recipients of his undeserved favour and grace. But there was a man now. There was a man now by the side of the road who is and must receive that grace. And so firstly, we see here, we read, it came to pass. It came to pass. Another one of these seemingly incidental statements in the scriptures that are so, so important. So, so important. They must not be overlooked and skipped over. It came to pass. In the church Bible, we read these words. We read, not that it came to pass, we read similar words, we read, it happened. But I like it came to pass better, as the Authorized puts it. It's the same meaning. They're both equally a good way of putting it, but I like it came to pass. There's something about that. It came to pass. It came to pass. You see, everything that God has purposed to do, everything that God says he will do, and everything that God has purposed to do that he hasn't yet revealed, comes to pass. It comes to pass. Never does it fail to come to pass. How I love these words, which are often used when recording these instances of God's great works. It came to pass. And this is no coincidence that indeed God the Holy Spirit has put these words here at the outset of this account, of this encounter. It came to pass. The encounter came to pass. What does this tell us? It came to pass as purposed by the Almighty. God purposed it, and therefore it's coming to pass now. The Almighty, who the Bible tells us, who works all things according to the counsel of his own will. It came to pass. There was never a moment when it could not be so. This man didn't know it was so. The disciples of the Lord Jesus didn't know it was so. But the Lord Jesus, who purposed to go that way, it was the right time now. Never was there an instance where the Lord Jesus met with someone when he truly met with someone unto salvation, where it was not foreordained. Never. Never. If someone says they have come to salvation, they've received salvation, and they don't believe in predestination, if they continue on in disobedience to the clear teaching of the scriptures, I must challenge whether they are saved. How can you take the glory away from God if you are saved? It was foreordained. God purposed to do it. And secondly, the Lord drew near to Jericho. He drew near to Jericho. It came to pass, we find the right time. And now we find the right place. The right time, and now the right place. The exact place. He drew near to Jericho. The word says, as he was come nigh unto Jericho. The time purposed by the Lord to perform this great work was right, as indeed he came to the right place. The Lord Jesus comes near by his gospel. And he comes near by his gospel even today, as it is proclaimed. And he sends his word out. And he sends his word where there are those who must hear and believe. And such as were ordained unto eternal life, they believe. If the Lord Jesus comes near tonight, if the Lord truly comes near tonight, you see, no preacher can stir this up. No good sermon, however truthful, can stir this up. I can preach the gospel to you. The true gospel. As I continually do. It has no impact. No impact. Does that mean that the gospel is not a saving gospel? Does that mean that the gospel is not a truthful gospel? No, it's not meaning that. But the gospel must come forth in the power of God. It must come forth in the power of God because God has purposed it to be so at that time. We're told that indeed the gospel that Paul the Apostle says in Romans 1:16 that he is in no way ashamed of. So many people are ashamed of the gospel of God's grace. They're ashamed that the gospel that says that God has set his love upon a people from eternity past, the elect, the chosen, those who must be saved and will be saved and are redeemed at the cross. Christ has bought them at the cross. They will be saved and they will be irresistibly drawn by that love and grace to believe on his Son, and he will keep them to the end. Many are ashamed of that. Many are ashamed to proclaim that there is nothing you can do outside of God's grace and mercy and his power to raise you from the dead, to make you born again, because you're dead in sins. They're ashamed of that gospel. Why are they ashamed of that gospel? Why are they ashamed of that gospel? They know not the gospel. They have no hope, such people. But he, the apostle, said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Why? He says, when this gospel's proclaimed, but only when it's proclaimed this way. And this has nothing to do with man. This has nothing to do with this man. The gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. But that's the power of God. It's when it comes in the power of God. When God comes, who has purpose to speak at a particular time, to a particular one, in a particular place, there and there alone. It's the power of God to save. But not to possibly save, to definitely save. That will do for me. But if that gospel comes tonight in that power to you personally, you will be saved. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. If Jesus, this Jesus in the gospel, come near to you with his word and calls you by this gospel, by the gospel of his grace, he tells you, if he come near to you right now, where you sit, where you listen right now, if you be listening A little later on, when you listen to this message, he says, if he come near to you now, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Not as if he cannot be found, and not as if you can seek of your own ability. But it's a definite statement. He's come near to save. And so respond and call upon him while he's near. That's what this blind beggar did. The power of God came upon this man. For thirdly, observe, the Lord comes not just to anyone, but rather he comes. Hear the word of God here. These are not my words. These are not me trying to defend a creed or a basis of faith or some catechism or some doctrinal stance. This is the word of God. What does the word of God here say? Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind beggar. There were many beggars. There were many lame beggars. There were many blind beggars. Just as indeed, when that man, Lazarus, that friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he loved dearly, who had been 4 days in the tomb, who Jesus wept over, and yet the Lord Jesus allowed this unto the praise of God to come to pass. When he came forth to the shared tomb that this poor man was buried in, where there would have been many corpses, he calls out the name of I always keep calling him Nicodemus. He calls out Lazarus. And he calls out Lazarus only. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And guess what? Only Lazarus came forth, bound in his grave clothes, living now. And this man here shows us that God is interested. God has his people who are a certain people. A certain people. And he calls people personally. There was a certain beggar. The Saviour was sent into the world to save a certain people. A definite people. A definite number, his elect, chosen unto salvation from the foundation of the world. And guess what? They're going to receive that salvation. Each one of them. This blind beggar, like all who are called by grace to believe, is one of those whom the Lord Jesus said, and this is the Father's will which have sent me, that of all which he have given me already, they're mine. I've come for them. All that the Father which have sent me, hath given me, I should lose nothing. Not one of them. Not one of them. But should raise it up again at the last day. John 6:39. Yet until God illuminates you within, enabling you to hear the truth of the gospel, as we've just said, the power of God giving you faith, enabling you to hear the truth, you remain as this man, as all others outside of Christ, blind, helpless to know the way of salvation, groping around in the dark, not knowing what is the way. Fourthly, upon hearing the good news that Jesus was near, this beggar who was indeed simply by the grace of God given this illumination in his heart to just ask these words, who is he? What is this? What is this noise? What is this sound? What is that? What is this commotion? Why is it that these people are passing by? He was given the illumination to simply ask. To simply ask. And this beggar acknowledged his need as was his only hope. He acknowledged his need. But not only that, he believed his need could be met. No, not just that. He believed his need would be met. And he believed upon the Saviour. Not just believed in the Saviour. He believed upon the Saviour. He threw himself upon the mercy of the Saviour. And the Word of God says, faith comes by hearing. And hearing the Word. And hearing by the Word of God. Faith doesn't come by ritual. Faith doesn't come by tradition. Faith doesn't come by those things passed down from generation to generation. Faith comes by hearing. By hearing something. This man had to hear something. He had to hear the news about something. He didn't understand it, first of all. And yet, he was caused to somehow, he was being drawn to want to know more. Do you want to know more? Are you being drawn to want to know more? To all those who seek, to all those who look, they shall find. The door shall be knocked unto them. They shall be opened unto them. This blind man sitting by the roadside, helpless, hopeless, only heard the sound of the people passing by, the commotion. And so, you who are belonging to Christ, remember this. Remember this. Do not presume in any way. Do not presume for one moment with anyone in this world. And I mean anyone. And especially those who think themselves to be speech marks Christian. Who are unsaved. Do not expect anyone in this world to know what it is and why it is that we are following after Christ. This crowd was following after Christ on the way to Jericho. And everyone in this world who observes the true believers, whether we could be going into our places of worship or as we walk in this life, they have not got a clue. They have not got a clue what the sound is. They're blind. Do not presume that people who are unsaved will know what we who know the Saviour believe. Who he is. Never presume for one moment about anyone. This is serious. The message of Christ Jesus, the substitute Saviour, must be made known. And God has purposed by the foolishness of preaching and publishing abroad this message. Yes, it is only by the Spirit of God coming in the hearts of such and giving them new birth that they actually believe and that they actually really know the Saviour. But he has called his people to make his name known. See here in the text, the man asked. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Jesus of Nazareth, that's all he was told. Think on that. Think how great a work of salvation was done here. And yet, just a simple statement was made. Do not for one moment, once again, minimize or indeed devalue any work, simple, small or large, that you do for the Lord. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, no work done in the Lord is wasted. Nothing. They just said Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. How could that be enough? In the hands of God. This man was stirred somehow to know who this Jesus whose name means God saves, who this Jesus is. And so he cried out, not to them. He didn't cry out for them. Oh, you must, if you're ever to receive salvation, you must cry out to Jesus, not to the church, not to the pastor, not to anyone else. You cry out to Jesus. You come directly to him. And there's access to him. He cried out and he cried out and he cried out till he was heard. And it didn't matter what anyone else said to him. Though none will ever be brought to seek after this salvation unless there is a moving of God within, yet this name, this wonderful name, must be published abroad to as many as will hear. But do you want to know? Do you want to know who this Jesus is? As believers, we find ourselves on various journeys in this life. Daily we take journeys. Insignificant journeys. Coming near to the place where we work or study or wherever, we draw near to that place. Be it on the train, be it on the bus, be it on foot, walking up the street. But let us see that each day, each journey we set out on, long or short, as one where there just may be a lost sinner waiting, not knowing they're waiting, but purposed it is to be told of who Jesus is. And pray boldly that God would indeed cause such things to come to pass. To indeed lead us to his people through our daily circumstances. To be told that this is Jesus of Nazareth. May people be brought across our path to acknowledge there is something different about us as they come across our path. And this man, he heard something different that day. What's going on here? And may we be ready to give an answer for those who ask us a reason for the hope that lies within us. You who know not the Saviour, are you brought to see your desperate state of hopelessness? Lost in your sins, even as this man begging by the roadside. Will you not beg for this Saviour God, this Lord Jesus? For he is the Lord God. This is what he says of himself. He is the Lord God, plenteous in mercy. And he never turns anyone away who cries out to him. may be brought to call upon Christ and plead and plead. Maybe this man used these words, I don't know. But to plead as this man and plead, don't pass me by, Lord Jesus. Don't pass by without causing me to see your salvation. The people rebuked this man. What a shame. The people rebuked this man for crying out. The people rebuked this man for looking unto Jesus. This did not stop him. And if you're ever brought to seek Jesus, if you're ever brought to respond to this Saviour, nothing will stop you. Like the woman who had that flow of blood, she was beyond help of doctors. She just knew, I've got to reach out, I've got to touch Jesus. I've got to touch the hem of his garment. You will. You will. You will reach out in faith and trust Jesus. If you're ever shown your sinfulness and your need of Christ's mercy, you will not let anything or anyone stop you coming to him. And as believers on the Lord Jesus, we should indeed still learn the lesson of this man. We should learn the lesson of this man. That this man knew his helplessness. And he knew indeed in whom he trusted. And we should continually see our helplessness. And continually look to him. And look to his grace. Knowing that his grace is sufficient for us.